Good news. Julian Fellowes and Elizabeth McGovern have been reunited. He, the author of the hit series Downton Abbey. She, the American actress who starred as Lady Grantham. Now, he has written the screen version of author Laura Moriarty's bestseller, The Chaperone. And Elizabeth McGovern plays the chaperone. This is the story of Louise Brooks, the 1920s it girl with her bobbed dark hair, heavy eyeliner, and reckless ways. But before she was famous, she was 15, and McGovern plays Norma, a sedate woman from Wichita, Kansas, who chaperones the young Louise Brooks, played by Haley Lou Richardson, as she makes her first trip from Kansas City to New York. Norma's husband, less than enthusiastic, but her sons urge her to go.
What would I mind? I think it's great.
Your father was worried.
You don't want to listen to Dad.
This is 1922. Hadn't you heard? Things have changed.
Women vote now and do whatever they want.
Including take a trip to New York.
Well, that trip to New York will change the lives of both Norma and Louise. Again, the film is The Chaperone, and joining us from the NPR studios in New York is writer Julian Fellowes. Hi, Julian.
Hello. Hi.
And star and producer, one of the producers of the film, Elizabeth McGovern. Welcome to you as well.
Hi.
And can we start with you? You always seem to get great clothing. I mean, your character is caught, actually, maybe, in between two eras. She's this kind of timid woman from Wichita, and she's in long skirts and short jackets and the beautiful hats of the day. And young Louise Brooks is in what seemed to be the coming flapper dresses. Talk a little bit about this character and what she meant to you.
Well, I loved the idea that it was a story about a woman who is changing alongside a changing country, making discoveries about herself in late middle age, which is not a story that is told very much at the time. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a really charming, entertaining conceit that she is impelled into this life's revelation by her interaction with the young girl who's meant to be her charge, who then becomes the poster child icon symbol of this changing time, which was 1920s America. And Louise Brooks became emblematic of this free, the liberation of women in the form of the flapper, which represented looser clothes and looser morality. Mm. And my character, she has constructed this house of cards on which she's based her life, which is this moral code that she's inherited. And in the course of this journey she takes with Louise Brooks, she discovers herself and learns how to own her own sexual life.
We can't give away any of those plot twists and turns that you mentioned, but here she is sort of in the beginning trying to wrangle this cult, Louise Brooks, who's bounding into a whole other era, the jazz age, and your character is taking Louise to task for dining with two men she'd just met.
Louise, I am not your enemy. I have not come along to harass you. I'm here to protect you.
What did you think back then when we were having dinner? That they were going to have their way with me in the dining car under the table?
Girl your age does not dine with men she doesn't know. Not without a chaperone.
Why not?
Because it isn't done.
Why not?
Because of the appearance of impropriety.
And Julian Fellowes, I want to bring you in now because there we have Louise Brooks and her chaperone. The movie, of course, drove us to Google. And Louise Brooks did have a chaperone. Louise Brooks lived from 1906 to 85, put out her memoir in 1974, Lulu, in which she writes one paragraph about Alice Mills, the stocky, bespectacled housewife of 36, who, having fallen idiotically in love with the beautiful Ted Shawn, who was one of the owners of the dance company, decided to study dance with him. I tolerated Mrs. Mills' provincialism because she shared my love of the theater. So that's the real chaperone and the little we know about her. You make your chaperone very different.
Well, my chaperone is Laura Moriarty's chaperone, who
right.
wrote the novel. The chaperone, Alice Mills, apart from Louise's own rather disparaging reference to her, is unknown to us. Mm-hmm. And what Laura did is take that structure and then invent a story for the chaperone that tells us about the time these women are living in, so that her story becomes a commentary on the period that America was going through, lived against the true story of Louise Brooks, who is a commentary in a different way. And I found all that cleverly done. Mm. These two women at very contrasting periods of their life. And in one way, Louise has everything except complete confidence in herself. And that is what Norma gives her. And Norma thinks she knows everything, but Louise gives her the strength to challenge the way she's been living her life and to retake control. And she encourages Norma to find the strength to be happy.
But the truth, as you said, there's truth here. There really was a Dennis Shawn dance company, Ruth St. Denis, Ted Shawn. Louise Brooks really did dance.
Yeah, and all of that is true. And then she went as a kind of look. She was thrown out of the Dennis Shawn dancers, probably because Ted Shawn was too interested and Ruth St. Denis rather less interested in Louise getting off with her husband. And she went off to Ziegfeld Follies and was a great star. But it had begun to become clear to everyone, including Louise, that her own stellar quality was not so much in her dancing as in who she was. She was this free child. She belonged to the post-war world. She didn't have any hangover of Victorian America and all of that. You know, at that time in the middle 20s, if you walked past a group of office girls or secretaries or shop assistants or whatever, some of them would have Louise Brooks's hairstyle.
Yeah.
And some of them would be dressed and made up like her because she was such an influence. She was saying to them, I know what freedom is. Follow me and you will too.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, this is a masterpiece production. Rebecca Eaton, of course, the tremendous executive producer of Masterpiece. And I said to her a little while back, she's based here in Boston, you do so many beautiful pieces from Britain, period pieces. Aren't there more American stories that we can tell, you know? And here is one. Have you felt that way as well, that, you know, we should look back more at our times in history?
Yes, it's true that Britain, especially in television and movies, has seemed to have a corner on period drama that Americans only can sit back and look on in awe. And I don't know why that should be. I suppose it's just been a part of their cultural heritage. You know, they've done them for so long. They do them incredibly well.
I think it's a cultural difference, though, really, that America is a very forward-looking society.
That's
it's a
interesting.
Very,
yeah.
It's what's coming, what's next that inspires everyone here.
Yeah.
Of course, they are interested in their history and they say, oh, this is where George Washington lived or something, but it's not in them in the same way. England, really, if anything, its fault is the other direction, that it's too much in its own past.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is dwelling on the past all the time. Both have reasons to recommend them. But America has led the way in screen acting, in movie making, mm-hmm. in all of this stuff, because it has this forward-looking dynamic. So, you know, if the price you pay is that you make less period drama, I don't think it's so high.
Although America notoriously absolutely loves those English historical dramas. Mm. So I don't know why we don't make them more
right.
for ourselves.
Well, hopefully we will. But being the forward-looking American, you both have the new Downton Abbey film coming out in September. Julian, I know that you are now going to reveal to us all of the plot points. Go ahead.
What I will reveal is that it's really good.
I'm so shocked.
Enough said.
But was it hard? Because you're trying to top something that was, for many people, the best.
Well, I don't know about top. I mean, I don't think we've gone into competition with ourselves, mm-hmm. but I hope we've taken on the tradition of Downton my aim, our aim, was very much that people who enjoyed the show for 6 years will enjoy the film, and I think they will. For me, the challenge was that when you're writing a series, every character has a reasonably decent story, probably twice in the series, and the rest of the time they're in other people's stories.
Mm.
In a movie, everyone who appears, their story within the movie has to be resolved within the movie.
Mm.
So that was quite testing, but I think we brought it off.
Quick question, Julian Fellowes. The last time we spoke with you, you said you were going to research and do some projects around Edith Wharton, the first female to win the Pulitzer Prize for Literature. And in The Chaperone, there's a scene on the train where Elizabeth McGovern's character is reading, I think, maybe Age of Innocence or something.
It is. No, it is Age of
yeah.
Innocence, yes.
So I thought, aha!
Well, I'm a big fan of Edith Wharton, but I'm not so much doing Edith Wharton as Edith Wharton's America. I'm writing a series called The Gilded Age. It's about that time in America that she celebrates in several of her novels, when old New York, the old families, the English, Scottish families that had come over, you know, on the Mayflower and later, came up against the new money that had flowed in after the Civil War. And that's a period that interests me, and that's really the background for my series, The Gilded Age.
We've been speaking with the chaperone writer, Julian Fellowes, and its star, Elizabeth McGovern, of course, both of them teammates on Downton Abbey, the new movie coming up. And Julian, we so look forward to your series, The Gilded Age. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. You were charming.
Coming from you, who knows charm? Thank you.
Lovely.
Well, we want to hear a little of Louise Brooks. She was a silent film star, but had a few talkies, including 1931's God's Gift to Women. She plays a girlfriend turned ministering angel to the philandering Frank Fay.
I've come to nurse you. Look, I'm all prepared.
That's very nice of you, but you see, August will look after me.
I know, but August could never do the intimate little things for you that I will do.
I'll say he wouldn't.
Oh, darling.
Don't do that, please.
But you must get back to bed.
It's here and now.